This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Hello and welcome to Uprise Radio with your hosts Koshin
and Zan.
And it's a very special week because Zan just made it in the door. It was a real tight one this week. So I'm very happy to be joined by my friend and co-host and comrade, Zan. And now my last-minute preparation for a solo show can go out the window.
I'm just going to sit here and make eyebrows at you and chime in sporadically.
Perfect. All right. Well, we'll see how that goes for the audience. We were going to do our big Burkina Faso episode that we are going to keep hyping up, but due to a little bit of chaos today, we're gonna push it back. We're gonna save it for a day when we're really ready. So we're not talking Burkina Faso today. We are going to, well, we'll probably end up talking about Burkina Faso because we've been reading.
We've already spent 5 minutes talking about Burkina Faso. Yeah,
we've done a lot of prep for a Burkina Faso web this week, so it's probably going to come up. But we are instead going to do a little reading series. We're going to go through the recently released 22-point manifesto from Palantir. Our beautiful tech overlords have allowed us to see what it is that they value. And it's going to be a great episode because Zan has not seen these, so Zan will be reacting live to...
I feel like a naughty student in a chute that hasn't done the reading.
Yeah, this is a cram-style session. This is going to have the vibe of it's 2 o'clock and the essay is due in 4 hours and you just got to get the work done.
And both our eyeballs are twitching.
Yeah, for different reasons. All right, well, let's get into it. So yeah, Palantir released, Alex Karp, the CEO, has released a book called The Technological Republic, which I have not read and I do not intend to read. And they released a summary, and the summary they released on Twitter begins by saying, because we get asked a lot, and I don't know how often they're getting asked for this specific post of a summary of their book, but
we should start doing that in our show.
Yeah, everyone is begging us to talk about Palantir's new manifesto. People really are begging for the Burkina Faso episode. The
text line is popping off.
Inbox is flooded. Email us at upriseradio855@gmail.com to just let us know how excited you are for the Burkina Faso episode. And we have the text line open if you want to text us in and let us know where you're listening from and what your thoughts are on any and all of these points. Let's start with number one. Let's start from the top and go down. It begins, Silicon Valley owes a moral debt to the country that made its rise possible. The engineering elite of Silicon Valley has an affirmative obligation to participate in the defense of the nation. So that's point one, and my immediate thought is, don't worry about moral debts. I would say pay back the financial debts to the country. Silicon Valley has taken a lot of money from public funding, and it's all been privatized. I would say, if you feel like you owe something to your country as a massive multi-billion-dollar company, just pay financially into the system.
Are they talking about the United States when they say?
Yeah, this is all U.S. based. I should have started with that. This is a very United States centric. That's point. It starts out quite slow, and then by the end, it's really, you got to hold on. Point number two is, we must rebel against the tyranny of the apps. Is the iPhone our greatest creative, if not crowning, achievement as a civilization? The object has changed our lives, but it may also now be limiting and constraining our sense of the possible. So on this one,
back to burner phones?
Kind of agree. Yeah. I do think we need to rebel against the tyranny of the apps. I think burner phones, brick phones is the way to go. So I don't think that's what he's trying to say, but I think in a weird way, point number two, I'm not against. I think
Is there much of a context for why Palantir seems to be like anti-tech in this weird way?
I don't know. I think it's probably because they have all lost their minds. I think we are dealing with
Trump-style psychosis.
People who are, genuinely, I think they're, I don't think their sense of reality is really tethered to the ground anymore. I think they're really off in the clouds these days.
Because just to clarify, Palantir is a tech company.
Yes.
Advocating for the dissolution of tech.
Yeah, they're
what do they think they're going to do?
Kind of tearing down. Yeah, I don't know. And that comes up a couple of times, like this weird kind of underhanded criticism of tech as like a consumer item. But yeah, I mean, you exist because of that. I don't know why. They're trying to have it both ways. You know what it is, actually? It's because they're trying to be based and reactionary. They want to be, what's the term? They want to, like, return. They want to be, like,
return
1950s. Yeah, sort of. It's like, a little bit Nazi, like, blood and soil style. They think that it's all a bit too decadent, this whole iPhones. People need to be working with their hands. But meanwhile, they are, to reiterate, these are tech oligarchs who
and
probably
like defense tech as well.
Yeah, they have not. I don't know. Anyway, we can't dwell too long on that one. But that one is rebelling against the apps is such a weird one. Point number three is free email is not enough. The decadence of a culture or civilization, and indeed its ruling class, will be forgiven only if that culture is capable of delivering economic growth and security for the public. So,
sorry, free email?
Free email is not enough. They're saying that, more needs to be provided to the citizens.
Like a UBI?
I mean, maybe actually, because I think these guys are now weirdly into UBI stuff just because they know that if they replace 40% of jobs and there's mass unemployment, that there'll be, there'll be a French Revolution style event. So they, I think, are now weirdly coming around to being like, we'll pay everyone a salary. We'll be, you'll be liberated from labor. But I will believe that when I see it. And also, I think UBI is not a good solution, but we can save that for another episode. criticisms of the UBI. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's starting to get the wheels turning a little bit now by point three on this whole, what's the point of the state or the ruling class? It's not enough to, not enough to just give people free goodies. You got to also bring security and economic growth. It's a little bit, reminds me of like social fascism, you have all of your colonial empire, but then back at home in the metropole, you provide for your citizens, to kind of balance everything out. So you kind of like, you get to live a good life. But your country is, massively exploiting people on the other side of the world.
Yeah, and also just, like, still in control. Like, to be giving recommendations around getting rid of tech, but they're going to remain a tech company, feels like that just concentrates power in their hand.
Yeah.
And the idea of a free email is also ridiculous, as it is just, like, considering the environmental impact that AI and data has.
Mm.
No email is ever free.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so real. Email is not free. Alex Karp.
The trees notes. Are paying for it.
Okay, let's maybe we'll skip. Maybe we'll start skipping some. We'll go straight to point number five. The question is not whether AI weapons will be built. It is who will build them and for what purpose. Our adversaries will not pause to indulge in theatrical debates about the merits of developing technologies with critical military and national security applications. They will proceed. So yeah, really trying to get the, trying to manufacture an arms race on AI weapons and say, you know, we need to get this before China. China, I think, is not going to be mentioned by name, but it's very clearly in his mind at all points. He's very worried about China's capabilities.
It seems so contradictory to be advocating for AI in defense and weapons while also advocating for what, I guess, citizens to be dropping their data and tech. Yeah. But for companies like Palantir to be at the forefront of the arms race.
Yeah, it's a funny, yeah, it's a funny fusion of like, yeah, everyone needs to log off, but also tech needs to become more important. It should be in charge of the military, but your day-to-day life should be like an offline kind of, I don't know, trad life style thing. Point number six, I thought was very funny, just in how, hypocritical it is. Point number six, national service should be a universal duty. We should, as a society, seriously consider moving away from an all-volunteer force and only fight the next war if everyone shares in the risk and the cost. So, talking about bringing back the draft.
Due to Donald Trump, all the trans people can't do that anymore. Yep, so yep. They're going to have to change some laws around their transphobia.
Yep, they will be excluded. And also, I mean, famously, not everyone does share in the risk. Like, Donald Trump famously didn't fight in the Vietnam War. Like, he just got out of it. Rich guy style, you just get a doctor's note.
Oh, but he has said that he is in the most dangerous job in the world.
Yeah.
Above bullfighters. Yeah. No one told him how dangerous it was going to be.
Yeah, I like the implication that he would have picked bullfighting. Like his whole risk analysis was just, what's the most dangerous job? What's the least dangerous job I can get into? Point number seven, if a US Marine asks for a better rifle, we should build it. And the same goes for software. We should, as a country, be capable of continuing a debate about the appropriateness of military action abroad while remaining unflinching in our commitment to those who have asked to step into harm's way. So
asked to step into harm's way.
Yeah, they've volunteered, you know, the Marines that are, you know, falling over each other, begging, please let me go and fight another useless war.
Should at least have some shiny tools for the job.
They should be given better rifles. It's like, yeah, I didn't really know what this one's about. I mean, like, it's kind of trying to reinvent the wheel a little bit. I know that the military already has pretty good rifles. Like, they have a pretty good system for, they are constantly innovating. They're constantly finding new ways to, you know, make those things work. They are pretty good already. I don't think that it's a problem in the US military that service people are going, can I have something half decent?
Yeah. The problem is not the system around it. It's just the person needing a better tool.
Yeah. I think what they're saying is, I think the software part of this is the most important. I think what he's saying is, please let me get more money to make military software. Maybe we will listen to a quick community service announcement. And then we will return to listen to the second half of these points in the Palantir Manifesto and text in at, I don't know what the number is. I can't see it on the screen.
You're just going to have to go find it yourself.
You'll have to look it up. You'll have to Google it and let us know where you're listening from and let us know if you work for Palantir. Okay, well, here's a community service announcement.
3CR is radical radio, and that means more than just alternative current affairs and political coverage.
We're radical because we're an independent media outlet owned and operated by the community.
We're radical because we give communities the control of their own shows with their own music in their own languages.
We're radical because we provide a media platform for communities to build their own power to create social change.
Become a subscriber and support Radical Radio. Call us on 03 9419 8377 or subscribe online at 3cr.org.au/subscribe.
Welcome back to Uprise Radio with Koshin and Zan. And if you're just tuning in, we are listening to, well, you're listening to us read through Palantir's 22-point manifesto that they released recently. And we are skipping some of them because
they don't deserve airtime.
Yeah, some of them are kind of boring. Point number 9 I do like, though. We should show far more grace to those who have subjected themselves to public life. The eradication of any space for forgiveness and jettisoning of any tolerance for the complexities and contradictions of the human psyche may leave us with a cast of characters at the helm we will grow to regret.
Wow, that is poetic.
Yeah, that one, also, this one feels like it's written by AI a little bit. I don't know why I'm getting that vibe from it. But yeah, I like the idea that it's someone who's in the public life who is constantly being scrutinized for all of his weird behavior, and he's trying to write like an objective thing saying, guys, can we please stop scrutinizing people?
It's giving me Robert Smith vibes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just let people...
Just forgive.
Just forgive and move on. What? So I did something really bad in the past?
We're all just human.
Yeah, have you guys ever thought about the fact that if you didn't let me personally be in power, that something bad might happen in the future that you would regret? You should think about that. Also, while we were off air, we were just going through some of the... collaborations that Palantir has in Australia. They have a big contract with Coles now and Rio Tinto.
And Westpac and the Future Fund has recently this year invested $100 million in shares.
So that's good to know that that we're, as a country, getting really deeply in bed with these with these guys.
And honestly, from Coles, I see it. I feel like the amount of security... situation. There's shit talking to me when I go into the aisles now.
Yeah.
It's Palantir.
It's definitely going to build some big database of everyone. Like, shoplifting at Coles is going to get dangerous. I would say that. So yeah, Palantir, I believe, off the top of my head, I know it's definitely a Lord of the Rings reference. I believe Palantir is the name of the orb, the all-seeing eye orb that if you are trained, you can look into it and see, you know, find any information, you can see any part of the world. So it's they've named themselves after an all-seeing magical orb, I guess to be reassuring or just,
I guess it I feel like it gives more context to the vibe of like citizens shouldn't have the option of having tech because they're not able to know how to use it properly, but us, the overlords who know how to use it, should have the reign supreme power over tech.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to skip forward a little bit over some that are kind of good, but I do want to get to these, the juicier ones. Number 13, no other country in the history of the world has advanced progressive values more than this one. The United States is far from perfect, okay? But it is easy to forget how much more opportunity exists in this country for those who are not hereditary elites than in any other nation on the planet. So I'd like a little fact check on that. I'd like to see how much generational wealth impacts people's lives. I would. The fact that in my lifetime there have been two presidents of the United States whose last name have been Bush would lead me to believe that I think there maybe are hereditary elites who are running the country. I think that's happening, whether he wants to admit it or not.
Also, just the fact that the level of accountability to the United States complicity in colonialism and war crimes ongoing is just, we're not perfect.
Yeah, we're not. Look, it's a, that's, I love that.
But ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, that's their big line on the Iraq War, which I always
we're not think perfect.
Is strangely funny. They're just like, look, it was a mistake. It's just, it was a little mistake. It was a little oopsie.
A slip up.
It's no big deal. We accidentally killed 1 million people and destabilized the region and did untold damage to, you know, for the future. But it's, look, everyone makes mistakes. We all slip up sometimes. Sometimes you forget someone's birthday. Sometimes you launch a wholly unjustified war.
They both deserve forgiveness.
Yeah, yeah. Number 15 is a good one. The post-war neutering of Germany and Japan must be undone. The defanging of Germany was an overcorrection for which Europe is now paying a heavy price.
Can you define what defanging means?
I think they're talking about the fact that they were demilitarized, like Germany's military's been a lot weaker since World War II. And yeah, but I mean, also the Germany wasn't a country after World War II. Germany was split into two. And he's kind of glossing over that, but whatever, we'll move past that. And then also, yeah, Japan, much more famous. Like, Japan, I think, constitutionally isn't allowed a military, which is why it's always weird that they do have a military. Like, it's, like, technically a police force or something.
It also just really reminds me of how the difference between Israel keeping all of its weapons and Hamas needing to demilitarize and the way that the controlling forces get to decide who gets access to any type of military, which is, it's never even.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the difference in this one being that Germany and Japan were both expansionist empires who started the World War II. Like, I think it was completely justified that Germany and Japan not be allowed to be militarized anymore. I think that was good. They should remain pacifist countries. They shouldn't be allowed to have militaries. Germany especially. Mm. They did both world wars. Mm. One and two were both Germany being too militarized and saying, why don't we just expand a little bit? So I think big fat goose egg to this one. No is my vote to remilitarizing Germany. I think Germany can sit this one out because if they do three world wars, I don't even think there should be a Germany anymore. I think that should be broken up into 200-300 years ago. I can't remember when it was before unification. That place was 500 different little tiny countries, and it should go back to that. That would look good on a map. It's a beautiful thing. If you think balkanization created a lot of countries, you should look at a map of what Germany used to look like. And that's what we could have again. Tiny, tiny little city states. And it was a better... it wasn't actually a better world. It was worse in many ways. But it'd be cooler on the map. That's all I'm going to say. Okay, well, moving on from that. Me saying that we should break up Germany.
Dissolve all borders.
Dissolve them all. Dissolve all of them. Except Yugoslavia, which I think they should put back together. point number 16, we should applaud those who attempt to build where the market has failed to act. The culture almost snickers at Musk's interest in
grand narrative. I was like, oh wow, this is turning.
As if billionaires ought to simply stay in their lane of enriching themselves. Any curiosity or genuine interest in the value of what he has created is essentially dismissed, or perhaps lurks from beneath a thinly veiled scorn. So we should applaud. We should applaud Elon Musk for everything. I guess we shouldn't undermine him.
Yeah, it's also giving like green capitalism vibes, being like if you can make a buck off literally anything, you should go do it. Even if it's still going to continue to destroy the earth overall, you should still be able to do it.
That is,
and Elon we should Musk's pat you thing. On the back.
Yeah, I mean, it is really interesting that he went from like a big liberal hero for like all of his electric cars and solar panels and stuff, and now he's trying to switch teams and be
go to Mars. Like,
go to Mars. Yeah, I don't know. The Mars thing, I think, is. It's a beautiful thing that space has become. There's no frontier left for capitalism to colonize. And so now we must look to the heavens. We must look upwards into the infinite abyss.
Oh, my God. I have a request. I think we've been really good not talking about Thomas Sankara.
Yep.
But he actually had a really awesome quote that referenced aliens.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just love to read
that out.
It says, Burkina has proposed and continues to propose that at least 1% of the colossal sums of money sacrificed to the search for cohabitation with other stars and planets be used, by way of compensation, to finance projects to save trees and lives. We have not abandoned hope that a dialogue with the Martians might lead to the reconquest of Eden, but in the meantime, Earthlings that we are, we also have the right to reject a choice limited simply to the alternatives of hell or purgatory.
Unreal.
Unreal.
You guys are going to love the episode on Thomas Sankara. What a guy.
And we're just going to keep drip feeding you.
He was the best. He was so cool. He was really hot. We did research by watching YouTube videos together the other day, which was maybe the least productive research I've ever done in my life. But a lot of old footage of him, and both of us just kept commenting. I mean, it's incredible. You don't get attractive leaders like that anymore.
Mm.
Or ever. I don't think. I think that might be a once in history moment to have someone like that. Well, I'll just read this one last. We'll finish up with this. It's point number 21, which I think really, you know, is a great example of where the zeitgeist is at in Silicon Valley. Point number 21, some cultures have produced vital advances. Others remain dysfunctional and regressive. All cultures are now equal. Criticism and value judgments are forbidden. Yet this new dogma glosses over the fact that certain cultures, and indeed subcultures, have produced wonders. Others have proven middling and worse, regressive and harmful. So I guess I mean, it's very coded. It's so coded that I don't even really know what he's, like, who specifically he's talking about.
Yeah, also saying we're all equal, but we're all different.
Well, no, he's saying that now, you know, now we have to pretend everyone's equal. But obviously, we're not. Yeah, it's like, I don't know. I think it really does just split down, like, West versus everyone else mentality. And yeah,
it's also just giving me, like, marijuana paranoia vibes.
Okay, yeah. I kind of see that. I do think no one talks about the fact that 10 years ago they were all writing articles about how everyone in Silicon Valley was taking psychedelic mushrooms and acid all day.
And I feel like we're kind of starting to see it now. Yeah, in this manifesto.
They kind of stopped talking about that, and now all of these people think that they've, like, discovered, they've like, reinvented racism. And it's, I think they just, yeah, it's because they spent 6 months in the 2010s doing acid all day, every day.
And then 6 years microdosing after that.
Yeah. I think that maybe had an effect, and now they're seeing patterns that aren't there. Anyway, yeah, I mean, obviously he's saying cultures instead of races, or it's just racism.
Do you know who this audience is for? This manifesto? Like, who it's trying to reach or persuade?
That is a good question. I don't know. I mean, I guess other people in Silicon Valley. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure who it's for. I'm not sure who this is for.
I'm just going to say it's for the Martians, yeah, who I think are out there listening. Yeah.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.